extend your faith this way, and that's... See, I know if you only hear me, none of you are going to get any help. But if you can hear the Good Shepherd through this vessel, you're never going to be the same. I mean, He's got a way of helping you. So, Father, right now, all of us together, our hearts are turned toward You, Father. Father, my prayer is, once more, Father, I yield myself unto You. My spirit, my soul, my body, my voice. Father, at this moment, as far as I'm concerned, Gary Carpenter is leaving the building, getting out of Your way, Father. Now, Father, take over. By Your Spirit, Father, I ask You to make this tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I could speak forth the mind of Christ so clearly and so simply that even the wayfaring fool could not misunderstand it. Father, I ask that You anoint the ears of the hearers with ear salve, that they might hear not only what the Spirit of the living God is saying to the church at large, to this local assembly, but to each and every individual under the sound of my voice. And Father, most of all, move among Your people. Lord, this is the time. This is an opportunity for You to teach and to bless, to touch and to heal, and to cause tremendous increase in Your body. Father, we're not gathered here just to have another meeting. Father, we're here to yield to You so You can touch the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everybody says,
Amen.
Hallelujah. We doing okay? Glory to God. I got the thumbs up back there. You can go ahead and be opening up to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to give you some review. Now, since most of you are on our mailing list, most of you have heard enough of our testimony, I'm going to jump over a lot of things and just kind of quickly bring you up to speed. How many of you know these last 3 weeks, we've been on three meetings in 2 months here, almost back to back. But that's the first time we've been anywhere away from the prayer center in 2 years. Most of you aware of that fact? Well, the reason for that is this. My testimony goes all the way back to 1992 when we started attending the prayer center. There was this up-and-coming young evangelist named Dave Roberson. Had a most unusual message. Now, we had been saved and Spirit-filled since 1980. It's not that we hadn't endeavored to serve the Lord. We had good teaching in Tulsa. You can just go anywhere and have good teaching. I mean, we got Kenneth Hagin. We got Bob Yandian. We got T.L. Osborne there. We got Oral Roberts there. And just right on down the line. We got Billy Joe Dougherty from Victory Christian Center. And we have the best. We have conventions of all kinds, faith, you name it. Holy Spirit meetings, I mean, you can load your schedule up. And we did. We went to about everything. And we began serving the Lord in whatever capacity that we could. The young man that led us to the Lord had a prison ministry, and we served in the prisons for 6 years in Oklahoma, preaching the gospel. I went with him, got my training under him, and then later the Lord promoted him to other things, and then we carried on in the prisons for several years after that. We taught it. We'd teach anywhere. You know, you open up your living room, we're there. We're teaching. At the church that we would attend, we got involved there, praying and ministering, doing about anything. But I got to tell you this. I studied all those tapes and read all those books, probably the same ones. If I say it this way, I chewed my Copeland Hagin. My Fred Price. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? My Jerry Savelle. All right? I did my homework and I did it well. I got it to the point I didn't have to use notes. I could teach those lessons. I could give Kenneth Hagin's testimony better than Kenneth Hagin. A young Baptist boy born on the bed of affliction. You know, anyway. And Norville Hayes, I listened to so many Norville Hayes tapes that to this day, very often when the Holy Ghost needs to get on me for something, I hear him in Norville's voice. I mean, I do. I hear the Holy Ghost. Like, I'd be going, you know, you catch yourself drifting off into unbelief. Like, when is it ever going to manifest? When is it ever going to manifest? And all of a sudden, in Norville's voice, the Holy Ghost will speak to me and say, Faith, doesn't wear a watch, my brothers and sisters. And I go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. And I know it's the Holy Ghost, but I heard him in Norval's voice. And the Lord did great things for us. I mean, you know, I could give you lots of victories from those days. But I got to tell you, our walk in many ways was pretty shallow. Apparently, I can't walk right there. Okay. I'm going to be down amongst you in a little bit, so we'll see what happens. Our faith in some ways was very, very good. In some ways, it was very shallow, especially in the realm of finances. I don't know. I studied all that, too. All the different formulas that were being taught, like the hundredfold return and sowing and reaping, and we could just go right on down the list. You know, the tithe is the seed. The tithe is what opens the windows of heaven, but the amount of the offering above the tithe determines how much comes through. Now, if that's something you taught today, give me time. You know, let your toes heal, okay? All right. Boy, it got quiet when I said that. I said, well, yeah, that's what I'm doing. Well, hang around. Anyway, I never could get much of that to work for me. Now, I believe the men were sincere that teach that. I don't believe they were out to mess me up in any way. And it may be that I didn't hear what they taught, but I don't think so. But I tried it all. Hey, and I'm one of those guys, you know, I'm from Pottawatomie County, Oklahoma. And down there, I'm telling you, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. In other words, I'm not interested in theories that don't work. I'm also an engineer by training. Engineers, you know, now science, there's a big difference between a scientist and an engineer. Scientists, they're always on the cutting edge of new discoveries, the mathematical formulas, and like E equals MC squared when that came out through Einstein and everything. You know, that's the scientist. And once they discover it, what motivates them, okay, now we got that, I want to go on to the next thing. And they're always working right at the edge of man's understanding. But the engineer's not like that. He comes along behind the scientist, and he picks that formula up. E equal MC squared. You know, I think we can take this and use this formula, and we can build a toaster that people can use out of this. See, and that's the way I am. Religious jargon that doesn't get you healed, I'm not interested in it. Formulas on prosperity that don't affect your wallet in a good way. And they all affect your wallet in a good way. I'm not interested in that. See, what I'm interested in, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'll do that. I'm going to pull a Dave on you. I had to open you to one place, and I'm going to read you something else. But we'll come back here, I hope. Yes, sir. Now, what happened right there is the result. See, that's what was lacking in those days. Did you hear that? He stopped me. He addressed me. And I heard him. And that was what was lacking in those early days. I learned the faith message. And I knew it well. And listen, there's nothing really... Hey, without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But now here's the problem. Faith without the leadership of the Spirit is a problem. See, because what's the creed of the faith man or the faith woman? Well, I'm not moved by what I see. Bless God. I'm not moved by circumstances. I'm not moved by how I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God. Isn't that right? Isn't that our creed? You know? So that's fine. Except what if the path you're on is not a path that the Good Shepherd is leading you down? The type and shadow from the Old Testament, the cloud by day, the fire by night. You know, when the cloud moves, you're supposed to follow the cloud. See? Trouble is, that's a type and shadow of the leadership of the Spirit. Trouble is, I couldn't see the cloud. I couldn't hear the cloud. I didn't know which way the cloud was going. I was just out there faith manning stuff everywhere. See? And so... It's not that, God, I mean, God, I look at it at that situation now, and God's going, my child, my boy. I love my boy, Gary. He's such a child. He's blessing me all he could. I'm out here, you know, the clouds are going that way, and, you know, I'm running all over the place doing stuff for Jesus, and he's trying to get me to follow the cloud. And there's wolves and sharks and all kinds of stuff out there trying to get me. I can just see him dispatching 14 angels every 10 minutes to rescue me. That's about the way it was, see, because without the leadership of the Spirit, you just say, well, I think God wants me to do this. You know, I mean, God didn't tell you to do that, but you think that's what God told you. So you start down that path. Hey, I'm going right down that path right there. God's going, wrong path. Nope, wrong path. And he starts putting up, you know, billboards, blinking signs. Wrong way. Never said go there. And you're going, I'm not moved by what I see. Blinking signs, I'm not moved by that. You know, by now he's sending airplanes with signs behind. Wrong path. You know, he's trying to get your attention. And eventually, you know, you come back with like a whipped puppy. You know, it's like that guy that Dave uses this example. I don't know how to do any better. Guy go, you know, he says, God called me to China. Oh, we're going to do a work in China. Sold everything we had, loaded up my wife and my kids. We went to China. Got over there. Well, what happened when you got there? Oh, my kids got sick and died. My wife left me. We got beat up. They stole everything I had. Come back. Did you get anybody saved? No. And you go, he says, I don't know why God sent me to China. And about there you go, you idiot. He didn't. What exactly was it you heard? Well, I heard the word China. You get in prayer and find out what's going on, and the Holy Ghost says, I was fixing to tell him I wanted him to send an offering to China. I never told him to go start a work there. Now, that's Gary Carpenter's life from about 1980 to 1992. And Pastor Dave, he started teaching us, you know, he says, now faith is wonderful, but it only really accomplishes what it's supposed to when you follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. See, Jesus is Lord and I'm not. Have y'all figured that out yet? See, it took me a while, but I'm getting there. See, he's Lord, I'm not. He directs my path, I don't. Okay? So anyway, we started in 1992 praying. Because Dave, and most of you have heard this, so I'm going to go pretty fast. I'm not going to waste your time tonight. I know not all of you can be here every night. Dave taught us the leadership of the Spirit, and he taught us two things. The two most valuable things, and this is just two of many, but the two most valuable things that I learned from Pastor Dave Roberson is, number one, how to meditate the Word of God once and for all. Boy, if you don't have his big set of tapes called Imagery, Delivery, and Meditation, you need that set of tapes. I mean, I had eight or nine books in our library on how to meditate God's Word. Once I heard that set of tapes, I threw them all away. You know why? They were wrong. They're written by good men that love God, but they're wrong. And that set of tapes now that Dave has, if you want to learn how to meditate the Word of God, because he'll teach you. I mean, and it's so simple, the wayfaring fool can't misunderstand it. You'll learn how to do it. Now, the trouble is, you start doing it that way, it's going to start the Word of God itself. Is going to start blowing a lot of your pet doctrines. I have a series that's still in the making that we're not done yet. It's called Counterfeit Keys to the Kingdom. Junk the church believes that is not a key. Now, boy, if I go there, we'll lose the whole night, so I can't. But anyway, then the other thing he taught us was praying long hours in other tongues. Praying in other tongues is a revelation gift. 1 Corinthians 14:2, as you know, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. What mysteries? You explaining something to God that he don't know? No, it's the stuff you don't know that's the mystery. See, in the church at large, and I'm getting to what he told me here, the church at large, I had to change direction just a little. The church at large right now, the real gospel, the one that Jesus purchased with his blood for us, is a mystery. The church at large, and I'm going to get a little more on your toes than that. Hi, Chris. Get a little more on your toes than that. I'll just go directly to the prayer center. You can think about your church. A lot of it is still a mystery to us at the prayer center, too. You know how I know that? Because we have astounding things happen. I've seen incredible miracles. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen the dead raised in one of our services. I've seen teeth filled with gold and silver. We've seen astounding things. But I'll tell you this much. I'll tell you right now. We still have too often where they bring the children in wheelchairs and wheel them out the same way they came in. And until that stops, than even at the prayer center. And I don't mean to exalt that, but what I mean is the best, the people that are really seeking with all their heart, soul, and mind. Then the power of the real gospel is still a mystery. You know as well as I do, you could take 10, 15 kids in wheelchairs, say about 5 or 6 years old, so you can't blame it on their faith or lack of. Maybe they have multiple dystrophy, maybe they have multiple sclerosis and different crippling diseases. You could spend a year taking them to the super churches all over the United States, all around the world. And all those people would pray and fast and do everything they know to do, and you know as well as I do. Maybe, by the gifts of the Spirit, out of 15, maybe 2-3 get healed. Maybe. But the rest of them, would they? The way the church is today in America? You know they wouldn't. Now, let me ask you this, though. If the Lord Jesus Christ himself was still on earth in the flesh and had his headquarters set up in Jerusalem, and you could get an appointment for all 15 of those kids, how many of them do you think, once they had their visitation with Jesus, how many of them do you think would still be in a wheelchair? Not a single one. Now, the Holy Ghost told me, he says, and actually this was in a prayer time, this was sometimes the Holy Ghost talks to you, sometimes God the Father talks to you, sometimes it's the Lord Jesus talking to you. Now, this particular day, it was the Lord Jesus. And it's not that I can so much tell a distinction in their voices, but you can tell from the context who's talking to you. That's all by the Holy Ghost. You understand? It's all by the Holy Ghost. But the Lord Jesus, he said to me, now this is a great, boy, you're going to be glad you came. This is worth the price of admission right here. He said to me something. Jesus. He says, you do understand, son. There is nothing about the anointing that I don't understand. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? That heavy stuff, you know? Man. Boy, I'm glad I drove an hour to get here tonight. Man, Jesus understands the anointing. I didn't know that. But now the rest of it is what will get you. He says, there's nothing about the anointing that is a mystery to me. He says, I understand every facet of it. He says, if you'll spend enough time with the teacher I sent, he'll make it no mystery to you. Whoa. Now that kind of tells you something about the body of Christ at large, doesn't it? How much time is being spent with the teacher. Here's where he's redirecting my path. I'm going to read quite a few verses. You can try and go there if you want to, or just make note of them for now. The main thing is to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Here's the problem with the church at large around the world. One of the major problems with the church. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, he says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now he writes almost identically the same thing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 19 and 20. Now just listen to this. Paul plainly says, he says, I'm going to come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Now get this verse. This is, make a note of this. Study this in your Bible later. This is, if we're going to have a theme verse for these 6 nights, this is your verse right here. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And just to make sure you know what he's talking about, there's two Greek words that are commonly translated power. One of them is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from, and it's talking about explosive power, raw power. The other one is exousia, which means authority. One is grants the authority for power, and one is raw power. This one is dunamis. Raw, unmitigated power. Do y'all know who David Hogan is? You ever hear? Not many. David Hogan is, he wouldn't call himself this, but I don't care what he calls himself. He is an apostle to Mexico. And I say that because all the signs of an apostle are in him. And he started some 300 to 400 churches. Signs and wonders abound. He said something on a video I was watching one time that so struck me. Now, he has to come up against witch doctors. They have something like 200 accredited cases with witnesses and testimonies where it's no doubt. They have over 200 people raised from the dead through his ministry. Would you call that some power? This is a guy I want to hear. This is a guy I want to listen to. Okay? One day I was watching one of his videos, and the Lord had been dealing with me along this line. And he said, this is something David Hogan said. He says, when I come up against these witch doctors, and they're touting their God, and I'm the representative of the Lord God of hosts, the Lord God Jehovah, Jesus Christ being the Lord, he says, I got to tell you something I discovered. When you're facing up with people like that, excessive power is always the right answer. Not just power. The way he said it, I made a poster out of this, Jim. I got it hanging over my computer. Excessive power is always the right answer. Not just a little bit. It reminds me of the prophet, Elijah, and the 400 prophets of Baal. I mean, they're supposed to be representing their God. Here he comes representing Jehovah. He says to the people of Israel, how long will you be halt betwixt two opinions? If the Lord God Jehovah be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. And he challenges these guys to a duel of power. Isn't that right? Y'all know the story. They prepared the offering on the wood. They dug trenches and all of this. And those priests of Baal, they cut themselves with stones and knives and they wailed all day long and nothing happened, you know. And Elijah starts mocking them. Says, maybe your God is maybe he's on the telephone or something. You know, he's saying he's not listening to you, basically. And nothing happened. He comes out and he says, now the God that answers by fire, he is God. Challenging them, power for power. Well, when he prays, you know what happened. The fire fell. And I mean, it not only consumed the offering, it consumed the wood. It consumed the stones, licked up the water in the trenches. And before night fell that day, all 400 prophets of Baal were dead. Now that's a gospel of power. What is wrong with the modern charismatic, even the full gospel, even the best churches today, we basically have a gospel in word only. That's what's going on. So since there's no power, we can't hardly demonstrate it at all. We basically get in debates with those of the Islam faith. We get in debates with those who worship Buddha. Because all we have is words. Jesus never intended his gospel to be a gospel in word only. Let me read you that verse again. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. See, because at this Corinthian church, which you know Paul says is a baby, split, divided, carnal church, and some of them are getting all puffed up. What does that mean? They're starting to think they're some kind of hot rod. They're probably like Gary Carpenter was in the early 80s. I learned the Copeland Hagen message. Maybe they were learning Paul's message. But see, this is not a gospel in word only. It's a gospel of power. Paul says, they're getting puffed up. Y'all thinking you're some kind of hot rod, do you? So I'm going to come visit you. I'm not as real interested in your words. I'm coming to check out your power. Because the kingdom of God, he says, is not in word, but in power. Now to me, this is a Red Sea miracle day that I'm standing here preaching like this in what has been a Southern Baptist church. Most of y'all know I was raised Southern Baptist. And without going into as Pastor Dave says, thank God for the Baptists. I mean, there's more Baptists than there are people. You know. And if it wasn't for the Baptists, where would we Pentecostals get our people anyway, you know? But I've always said, hey, the devil's going to be in big trouble if the Baptists ever get Spirit-filled. Because I'll tell you one thing I know about Baptists. They'll work the town. Yeah. They're not afraid to communicate their faith. Dayton's in trouble from the devil's point of view. I'm telling you. Dayton's in trouble. But now see, go ahead and turn over. We are eventually going to come back to 1 Corinthians 2, Lord willing. But right now he's taking another direction. Go to Mark 16. I want to show you something. The church, if we're going to win this world before Jesus comes, has got to graduate from a gospel of word only to a gospel of power. Now I want you to, at this point I want to zero in your thinking a little deeper than that. There's not a person in this room nor a person under the sound of my voice by tape that you don't have a function, a calling in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And I want you to know something. Jesus intends for you to be empowered for your office. And it doesn't make a lick whether you're called to be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, in governments, in helps, or vacuum in the church, or what. It doesn't matter. Maybe working the mailing list. Maybe Aaron right now is the director of Gary Carpenter Ministries. That's our daughter, Aaron. Stand up, Aaron. This is my wife, Sue, by the way. And next to Jesus, she is the... Stand up, Sue. She's the best gift God has ever given me right there. But now Aaron right now has cut, she came a year ago this month, full time into the ministry. And right now, hey, isn't that a lot of glory to what she does? She's the one that inputs all of your email data. You know, you order tapes and send us by letter and telephone. She sits there at a computer and inputs all that stuff. But is that important? Y'all know that's going, those tapes are going around the world?
Amen.
Yes, sir, I'll talk about that. See, that's the part that was missing. I want you, don't want you all to miss that. Hearing him. He gives me instructions the way he wants me to go, and there's no point in me going some other way. Now, let's talk. Now, we're not near walking where Jesus wants us walking. You understand? What I'm saying is the vision he has given us is way beyond where we are right now. But let me just tell you about a little bit of empowerment. Just a tiny little bit that he's empowered us to do. We started our ministry at his direction. At that time, we had a $10 bill and a 20-year-old tape recorder. Now, I mean, buddy, you think, yeah, and a big savings account. You're not listening. We had a $10 bill and a 20-year-old tape recorder. And that's starting the ministry. But I want to tell you something. We never set out to build, quote, a ministry. What we have done is pray a lot, listen to him, obey him one step at a time. Because how in the world could we, with starting out like that without his instructions and his mind? Let me tell you what he's doing just today, and you ain't seen nothing yet. He has empowered us enough through his wisdom and his anointing and his instruction. Do you know our mailing list is right at 5,000 families worldwide? Do you know we're still sending those tapes for free? Did you know we're sending them postage paid around the world? Do you know that while I'm standing here preaching to you, my voice is being heard on every continent on the planet? I mean, I'm just going to partial listing. Aaron might have to help me. But just quickly, not only virtually every state in the United States, Canada, like you'd expect, but Peru, Brazil, Australia, Israel, China, the Philippines, Singapore, Germany, Switzerland, on and on and on. Where? South. Oh, we have a lot in South Africa, a lot of places in Africa. My voice is being heard. Now, would you call that multiplication? I say, what would Paul think? There was one month where this pastor asked if he could include one of my tapes in his mailing. And this pastor lives in Holland. And he just did all this by email. He had received one of my tapes, really liked it. And I said, well, yeah, as long as you send it free, I don't care, just don't charge for it, because the Lord he doesn't let me charge for the tapes. He said, oh, that's what I was going to do anyway. Well, I never know whether it's a pastor pastoring 10 people or 10,000. I don't know what kind of mailing list the guy has. Do you know that month he sent my tape into 55 nations? My voice was heard preaching the gospel in one month. In 55 nations. I call that, for a guy that's called to teach, I call that some empowerment.
Yeah.
It didn't cost me a nickel. He did it. He duplicated all the tapes. He sent them out at his expense. Now see, there is empowerment. What I'm saying, don't just get hung up on about, you know, well, if you're not a healing evangelist, there's not, you know. No, I don't care what you're called to do. You need to be empowered by the Holy Ghost to do it. No matter what it is, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. being raised Baptist. I mean, you could, Mark 16, we're going to look at verses 15 and 16 first. I'll just read them. Now before I read these, you tell me, how many in here has a Baptist background? Glory to God, I love you. Couldn't we chisel these words in stone right over the entry door of virtually every Baptist church worldwide? I mean, if there's any creed of the Baptist, it's verses 15 and 16. Isn't that right? Go, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, isn't not that our creed? Boy, you could chisel that in stone like that's who we are, man. That's what we do. And thank God for it. But did you know, when somebody is talking and they say the word and, that normally means they're not done with their message yet. Look at the first word in verse 17. What is that word?
And.
Now, this is going to really shock some of you. I was raised from the earliest age. I can't even remember not attending Baptist church. I mean, I was always in church. I didn't like it. I didn't want to be there. But I was there. Okay? And, I liked it later. Anyway. But for the most part, kid doesn't like going. At least I didn't. Now, how is it possible from roughly age 4, I probably quit going when I got too big where they couldn't make me, maybe age 14, 15. How can you sit in church from age 4 to age 15 and hear the Bible taught and not know that verses 17 or 18 are in the Bible? That scares me. Now, once I really got saved, come back to the Lord, got saved, whatever you want to call it, in 1980 in Spirit-filled, I got an insatiable hunger for the Word. I didn't want to talk to you. I didn't want to do nothing but read my Bible. I got a little weird, didn't I? Walk around in my bathrobe, hair, you know, bedhead, hair sticking out everywhere. Don't talk to me. More coffee and I'm reading my Bible. I mean, it was life and nourishment to me. And when I got to these verses, I mean, my eyes got big as saucers. And, I mean, the first two, I could quote them. Verses 15 and 16. But then verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. How about this one? Something that I'd been told from a youth was of the devil. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. How supernatural is that? And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, if you make notes in your Bible, verses 15 and 16, if that's all you have, if that's your creed like it was mine all those years, that is a gospel in word only. That's a gospel in word only. If you don't have the and, you've got a gospel in word only, and you're basically going to be debating the rest of your life. Because all you have is a gospel of words. Now, it may be truth. I'm not saying it's not. But what did Paul say? I'll read it to you so you don't have to go back there. The kingdom of God is not in word. That's never what Jesus intended for his church to be. A gospel of words. The kingdom of God is not in word. I didn't write that. You take it up with Paul. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Amen. Boy, I saw that. Now, Sue can tell you, I've been mortified some since that day. I got angry. I wanted to call up every Baptist preacher that was still living. I mean, I'm serious about this. I was angry. I'm going, how in the world can you sit from age 4 to age 15 in a church where they're supposed to be teaching the Word of God? And I thank God for the Baptists now. Don't get me wrong. They get a lot of people saved. I've seen a lot of good done in those churches. I've seen a lot of alcoholic men get saved and be God-fearing men that raise their families, okay? I'm not saying that. But I got angry. How come they never taught this? I'm just a child growing up there. How come they never taught this part? Well, how come the whole church doesn't emphasize this part? See, that's the thing. We're not supposed to go in. Yes, sir. He says, continue with the lesson. Yes, sir, I will. Go over to Matthew 10. Man, oh man, this is not where I thought we were going tonight. Hallelujah. See, I keep telling you, I'm still always discovering, He's Lord, I'm not. I haven't even got to do the introduction yet. He just wanted to get right into this. So he's doing something. I want to see how... Let me ask you this. Who is the head of the church? Thank God you didn't say Jim Martin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the head of the church. Isn't that right? If you ever thought about it like this, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I know right then that it wasn't called church. It wasn't called church till later on, Book of Acts and all that. But He is the head of the church. He was the head then. He come as the pattern. He come to say, let me show you from God the Father's point of view, when you assemble together, the kind of stuff's supposed to happen. So you'll know what church is. Okay? Now see? And if you're doing something else with different results, doing a different way, I'm not sure that the head of the church would call what you're doing church. Now, you can read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And yourself, you know what happened when He assembled the people together. The blind saw. The deaf heard. The lame walked. Boy, now this is the one I'd like. The maimed were made whole. In the service. Not in the hospital. And not a plastic hand. They got a new flesh and blood hand. While you watched. That's what He calls church. That's church. I call that a gospel of power. See, that's a gospel of power. Now you go in, rather than debate a bunch of Islams and a bunch of Mohammeds, walk in there and say, anybody in here missing a foot? Missing a leg, are you? You know, they got those landmines over there a lot where people get their legs blowed off and stuff. See, you've got six hands come up. Come up here. I'm going to pray for you in the name of Jesus. If you guys want to pray to Allah, you can go right ahead. I'm going to pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And the God that's able to put those legs back on, He's God.
Amen.
That's the spirit of Elijah. That's the gospel of power. And the devil's got the church so beat down and brainwashed religiously, we'll hardly even share a tract with somebody. Much less go up and challenge a maimed foot. Gary, are you walking in all this yourself? No. I'm giving you a spies report. I tell you, for 2 years he's had me locked up. He says, there ain't no point you keep traveling, teaching what you've already got on tape. He says, I got a lot more to teach you. We've got a place we're going. He says, you send the tapes and make them free to anybody on earth that wants them. That way they can learn what I've already taught you. And they can learn it free. They have no excuse when they stand before me. Did y'all hear that part?
Yeah.
Don't be blaming me. Alright? He says, they can learn everything I've taught you. He says, because I got a lot more to teach you. So for 2 years, he's had me locked up. And honey, I've been spying out the land. I've been spying out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I've been spying out Galatians and Ephesians. I've been spying out this inheritance because he told me. I'll just tell you plainly. Now, in my case, he was specifically talking about gospel entrepreneurship. That happens to be part of my call. He had been training me on that very diligently for years, and then it abruptly stopped. And I didn't know why, and I asked him. And he says, I've taken you as far as I can down that path until you better understand who you are, where you're from. Learn more about your inheritance and how to appropriate from it. He says, because the real transfer of wealth that shall occur to fuel the combines of revival in this last day to reap the harvest for the end times, that transfer is accomplished by inheritance only. And you have to know about it. That's when he called me off the road for 2 years. But in the process of that, I've been seeing all these other things. So that's what he's working all this in my understanding of these things to empower my call. But listen, your understanding of these things also empowers your call.
Right.
You understand it? It's your inheritance. It's not just mine. It's our inheritance. And we've all got to understand. We've got to shake off the shackles of religion. Understand, get a little clue as to who we are, where we're from, why we're here, and how do we operate in power, because that is your inheritance.
That's right. That's right.
Amen? Amen? Y'all understand what this is about now a little bit? Amen. You don't have to go debate with somebody about who is God. You can show them.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I want to hear these tapes myself. Hallelujah. But it's a spies report. He's been showing me the land. I see it. I'm not walking in all this yet. Hey, Abraham, what did he tell him first? He says, you go. You go. Search the land. See it. I want you to go see the land. The height, the length, the depth, the breadth of it. Because listen, I can tell you right now, you cannot possess what you cannot see. And religion has so brainwashed the church into mediocrity. I mean, we're just pretty well limited by what man can do. You know, I'm not against doctors. I'm not against... Yes, sir. I have a lesson posted at my website. Any of you that want to go there, it's just www.garycarpenter.org. We have like 20 some odd lessons there for free. Plus, you can sign up to receive the tapes for free right there if you want to. If you don't have a computer, it's my understanding you can go to virtually any library now, get online, for almost no charge at all, and you could order it that way. Or you can telephone us. We're going to have some business cards here, just little cards with our phone number and address before the week's out. And just through Pastor Jim. If you're not getting our tapes and you'd like to have them, just see them and get in touch with us. We'll send you a tape catalog. You'll be on your way. Okay? So how many can I get? Well, how many can you listen to? There is no limit and there is no hook later on. You'll never get an appeal letter from us. You'll never get us asking a dime. In fact, at the Lord's instruction, we don't even include a return envelope. You have to work at it if you're going to send us something. And if it's not in your heart to send it, keep it. I have a provider. I have a provider. And he, you know what he told me? He said, you obey what I told you. And he says, if every person on earth disobeys what I tell them to give, I'll raise up gospel entrepreneurs around you to accomplish what I told you to do. You become pretty fearless when you hear like that from the Lord God Jehovah. You know, he who said light be, light is. And when he takes over your checkbook, he's in good shape. I tell you, man, that's a great message. Boy, if you wasn't here this morning, you ought to get Pastor Martin's tape. That is, without a doubt, the best lesson I ever heard on the covenant in my life. Without any second thought, that is the best I ever heard. All right, we're going on here now. You in Matthew 10? Both of you haven't found Matthew 10 by now, forget it. Oh, we're doing pretty good here. Matthew 10, verse 5. Now, I want to see, again, the head of the church ought to know how this is done. He's the one that knows what church is. He's the one that knows what's supposed to happen when we go minister to folks. Isn't that right? All right. Now look what he says. In this case, this is where he sent out the 12. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, or into the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go ye rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Stop. Right about there you have, if you stop right there, you have a gospel in word only. That's basically what we do. Jesus came from heaven. He's the spotless Lamb of God. He died in your place on the cross. If you'll receive Him, you can be saved. And see, a lot of people get saved just with that. Well, thank God. You know, Jesus said to Thomas, he said, Thomas, you've seen and believed. Blessed are those that have not seen yet believe. Well, I thank God for everybody that's gotten saved just through the gospel in word only. But notice, again, what is a... And as you go... what does he say in verse 8?
He didn't want them to stop with a gospel of word only. As you go, he says, preach, saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. And cast out devils. I'm here to tell you, again, I love every Baptist. Thank God for them. But I attended Baptist church most of my growing up years. In all of my years, I never saw in a service a sick person healed. I never saw a leper cleansed. I certainly never saw the dead raised. And we'll absolutely have none of that casting out devil stuff. This is the kind of stuff I had to go through once the Holy Spirit became my teacher. And what I mean by that, I started praying a lot in other tongues. That's one way that He does it. He's explained. This book is a mystery to the whole church today. Nobody knows how to do this stuff. It's a mystery. And the Holy Ghost, every hour you give Him, that's His job. If you can come this week, I'm telling you, it's not me, it's stuff He's given me. I'm telling you, you're not going to be the same. He's given me two lessons for sure that is going to rock your boat, honey.
Hallelujah.
And I'm warning you, I'm going to give you a little warning. I've done it every place I've preached this. And by the way, the Holy Ghost through Pastor Dave saved me quite a bit of introduction. Every word you said in the way of prophecy at the beginning of this tape is exactly what the Holy Ghost has been telling me. Exactly what would happen. But now I want to put it to you like this, a little different. Do y'all know what the word accountability means? See, there for a long time I didn't know what I was like most of you in the body. Like most of you don't know what you are in the body. And so I was just like a lot of you, you know, I'd buy those books that basically you go through and you answer these questions what they're doing is they're taking your personality traits.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a little scoring method and you get through with all those chapters and you total it all up and you go, well, who would have thought? I'm a prophet. Or I'm an apostle. Or I'm a this or I'm a that, you know. Can y'all imagine Paul and Timothy and Barnabas and Silas sitting around doing something like that? The first thing you do tonight before you go to bed, throw that book away if you've got one in your house. Now, just don't admit to being that ignorant. Just throw it away. You don't have to tell me you had it. You don't have to tell me you bought it. Just throw it away. Nobody has to know. See, I didn't know either. I didn't know what I was called to be. A lot of people, and I kind of thought this for a while myself, I thought, because my temperament is pretty gentle most of the time. Look at my wife and my daughter. Most of the time it is, though. Most people, and I kind of did too, I just kind of assumed maybe I was called to be a pastor. Because I kind of had the temperament of a shepherd, you know. And I guess the Lord got concerned about it, that I might go that way. Remember that path you're not supposed to walk? And if He hadn't intervened on me, and the way He intervened, though, was because I let Him. By praying a lot in other tongues. Or I can start hearing His voice. So He come to my rescue and He plainly told me, I've not called you to be a pastor. You're not a pastor in my body. Now, a lot of people call me Pastor Gary and I don't correct them. It's all right. You know, it's fine. But He plainly told me, one of the main things that we get prayer requests, I don't know what my call is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do in the body. I don't know whether I'm this. I don't know whether I'm that. Gary, can you help me? Yes. Pray. Because I can tell you right now how you'll find your place. It's not through filling out the questionnaire in some dumb book either.
Amen.
He tells you what you are. And He trains you to do that. And then He empowers you to accomplish your office. He told me I'm a teacher in the body. Don't ever get confused about it either. That's what I do. And here lately He's explained it a little better. I'm getting to that accountability. You thought I'd forgot, but I didn't. He says, I've called you to demystify the mysteries. See, I used to really complain to the Lord. A lot of people are real quick intellectually. They're sharp. Quick. Jim's like that. Kathy's like that. Aaron is very much like that. Got a quick mind, boy. I mean, you can go, 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 you know. Pastor Dave is like that. Brad at our church is like that. I'm not like that. I'm just not like that. Now, I've got a good mind. I really do. It works fine. But I'm... You remember that story? The best way to tell you what I'm about to tell you. Remember the tortoise and the hare? You know, that hare could run rings around that tortoise. I mean, you can imagine. Here comes the old tortoise. Plodding along. Now, to him, he's racing. You know? See, that's Gary. Here I am.
I'm a coming. You know? And you got these guys with the quick minds, man, they're fast, and man, I already assimilated Galatians and Ephesians, and I'm doing all this, and I'm preaching, and we're going there, we're doing this, and I'm just to keep a plotting. I'm just to keep a coming, see. But what happens on the long haul, a lot of times they've gone down so many rabbit trails, they burn out, get off into air, you know. See, I used to complain because I'm not real quick, but now I understand He made me that way on purpose. It's part of my calling. Pastor Dave and Jim and others, they go out and they get this revelation knowledge right at the edge of the understanding of the body of Christ. And I can't get it. I'm not quick like that. I don't understand. I have to listen to Pastor Dave's tapes 15 times sometimes, especially in the early days. Sue knows I'm not lying. I'd listen to those tapes over and over, and my brain still wouldn't get it. And then what do you do then? You pray in other tongues. You pray in other tongues. Pray in other tongues. And finally, the Holy Ghost would get it across to me in it by a vision or by a dream or just some way. He'd get it across to me in a level where I could understand it. But now I understand my call better, because see, once I understand it, once He gets it down to a level like I call it belt high, where even I can understand it, trouble is when I teach it to you, you're going to understand it. And at that moment, you're accountable. You are accountable. Now, and for a while, you know, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I'm going to come and listen. And then I'll choose whether or not I become accountable. No, sorry, that's too late. I'm telling you now, if you come and listen, you're going to understand. And at that instant, you're already accountable. Okay? If you don't want to walk deeper into the Lord and give more of your life to Him, these meetings are not for you. No hard feelings. Just don't come back. Hey. And He's growing our ministry. Strange, isn't it? The way we talk. If you don't want to give, don't. If you don't want to come, don't. We're after hardcore, sold out bond slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. You know? You looking for hell insurance? There's lots of churches for you here. I mean, you know, if you're just looking for fire insurance? I just want the blood to save me. I'm not interested in serving Him. Oh, honey, there's church for you on every corner. Church for you on every corner. And there's going to be a lot of people in heaven with no reward. That's okay. I ain't one of them. You ain't one of them either. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. So accountable. And I'm serious about that, though. I'm not kidding. The Lord told me to give a warning. Because if you think you're going to come and not be accountable, you're wrong. You are going to understand some things in a way that you've not understood them before if you can come. And if you can't, I know some... How many drove more than 2 hours to get here? How many drove more than 1 hour to get here? See, you're quite a few. Now, I will promise you this. On work nights, you know, which virtually all this week will be, I know you got to be at work the next day. The teaching portion of the meetings will end promptly at 9 o'clock. We'll try and get started, you know, 7 to 7. About 7:30, roughly, the teaching will begin. But at 9 o'clock, the teaching portion will end. And I understand if you need to, you know, if you got to drive, you got to work tomorrow. The Holy Ghost understands that. Now, we may or may not be doing ministry after that, but just understand reverently and quietly, as soon as the teaching portion ends, if you need to go, go. Because He'd rather have you be able to come and get all this over 6 nights than for me to run till midnight one night and then you can't come back anymore. You understand? So I'm just letting you know the teaching portion will end. Now, tonight, of course, it's a little earlier than that because we started earlier. But the meeting's during the week. The teaching will start right at 7:30 or real close. And at 9 o'clock, it's going to end. And we'll pick up there the next night. And I'll try not to do any more review than's necessary. Okay? All right. Let's go on here. This gospel is a little different, isn't it? First, Matthew 10:8, healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received and freely give. See, well, that was only to the 12, all right? Let's look at his next time he sent them out, when he sent out the 70. Go over to Luke 10. Luke 10. This is, first he sent out the 12, now he's sending out 70. Let's see how much he waters down his gospel. This is the head of the church. If anyone knows what the gospel is supposed to be like, I figure it's him. If anyone knows how the church is supposed to function, I figure it's him. First off, you can watch him do it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now we're watching his disciples do it. And you already know what he said over in John chapter 14. The works that I do, shall you do also. And are we seeing them done hardly anywhere? No. Because the church has degenerated to a gospel in word only. Now that's going to change. It is already changing. And by the end of this week, now here's the promise. Yes, sir. Here's the promise. If you come. Now, I'm not saying by Friday night, you yourself are going to be Elijah to come. But I am promising you this. You will know without any doubt whatsoever what you can do to get on that path to walk into power. I mean where your gift is empowered, and I mean supernatural, where you can do what he's called you to do in this earth. When you stand before him, you'll hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's the promise. Okay? Now watch this. He sent out the 70. Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, "The harvest is truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." Now just for time's sake, he's saying, pray that the Lord send forth laborers. Now he's about to send forth laborers, 70 of them. Jump on down to verse 8. "Into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you." Again, he's not sending them with a gospel in word only. A friend of ours goes to India just about every year. He works 6 months out of the year, saves his money, so he can pay his own way. He's not a leech. He'll work, save his money, have enough for an airline ticket to get him over there. And that's about it when he gets here. He's got a little bag of clothes, and he just starts off going to villages preaching the gospel. And we're going, "Well, what about your motel reservations?" "There are no motels where I'm going." "Well, where do you stay?" He says, "Normally if you'll come and you go to a village and you ask where somebody's sick, and they tell you where somebody's sick, and you go to that house and you say, 'Hello, I hear you have your daughter's sick.'" "Yes, she is. I'm a servant of the Most High God. I've come to pray for her in Jesus' name, and God will heal her." And see, when you pray, he does. He says, "Then normally he lets you spend the night. They normally feed you." He says, "They'll probably book a meeting for you. You won't be able to get out of town until some other sick folks get healed. And then you get a bunch of them saved and you can go on to the next village." Little different than the way we do it. That's exactly the way the head of the church sent them out. Hallelujah. And then come on down to verse 17 while you're in Luke 10. "And the 70 returned again with joy after their ministry trip, saying, 'Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.'" Boy, you got that right. You got that right. And the church needs to know that. And until we know it, to be honest with you, the devils aren't subject to you. They are legally, but until you know it. See, that's like the promised land. God says, "I have given you the land." And at that moment, they didn't possess one square inch of it, did they? That promised land had to be possessed by faith. Well, you already know he's told you, "I've given you power and authority over all devils, all the work of the enemy, all the power of the enemy. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all that." But see, faith in that promise has to be possessed by faith. And in order to do that, you're really going to have to know who you are, where you're from, and why you're here. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Jesus never expected people be turning to... Oh, you're in Luke 10? Good. Stay there. Jesus never expected people to believe the gospel just because of words. Notice that he rebuked the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, not because they rejected his words, but because they had seen the works and still refused to repent. Let's read it real quick, and I got one more example. Boy. Luke 10:13. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the words had been spoken, is that what your Bible says? No, if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Now what's he saying there? See, Tyre and Sidon is known for sin. Isn't that right? Tyre and Sidon. And he's saying, now look, if the mighty works had been done there, that you've seen, those sinners would have repented. But you've seen the mighty works, Capernaum. And even though you've seen it demonstrated in front of your eyes with power, you still won't repent. What does that tell you? The religious spirit is even stronger than the sin spirit. You understand what I'm saying? That religious, I'm going to believe the traditions of my... That spirit is what put Jesus on the cross. That spirit, not sin, religion. We're going to lose our place of authority. If the people believe him, that proves we're wrong. And we'll lose our place of position. Let's kill him. And that's the spirit of religion. Now, I want to give you one other example. A friend of mine who lived in Maine tried to build a church there several times in several locations for like 10 years. Maine, is, they tell me, is a hard place to get the full gospel message in. Sue and I went there one time on a little trip. And about all you see, we saw a lot of Unitarian, Universalist, right on the fringe of even being Christian at all. And then a lot of the old name traditional type churches, and I don't mean to step on anybody's toes, but like Episcopalian and Lutheran and Catholic and that kind of thing. You hardly ever saw anything like full gospel, Pentecostal, anything where, you know, the gifts would be loose or the tongue, you know, tongues or anything like that. So this friend of ours, for 10 years, he labored up there. He'd try and get people saved. He'd try and preach the full gospel. He'd chew his Copeland Hagen. He'd chew his Dave Roberson. For 10 years, he was trying to preach the gospel up there and with very little success. And finally, he says, that's it. In the spirit, I've had it with this state. He says, I'm writing Ichabod over the whole state. That means the glory has departed. And I'm leaving here. We're going to Tulsa. So he comes to Tulsa, and of course Pastor Dave gets him more into prayer. You know, he was already praying quite a bit. Pastor Dave, you know, Pastor just has this way of lovingly beating you back into the prayer closet. I mean, I never saw anybody operate in love like he does. You know, you'll come on a Friday night. Now, Friday night is like family night. That's the hardcore bunch is there on Friday night, you know. And, I mean, that's the night. You'll never hardly know what happened to you. But it's done with such love. You don't know what's happening, but he is literally slicing and dicing you. I mean, you know, all you want to do is run for the prayer closet when it's over, you know. And he does it with such love, you like it. I can't wait till next Friday night. And if I'd come in, you know, at this stage trying to teach that same thing, half the church would get mad at me. But he just operates in that kind of love. Well, anyway, he got our friend back and really into prayer. And it was about 2 years into that prayer. And, he thought he was perfectly right. You know, he said, well, I wrote Ichabod over that whole state, that bunch of unbelieving. Here I preached the gospel up there for 10 years and they wouldn't repent. So I just wrote Ichabod over the whole state and it's good enough for them kind of deal. One time, and then one day the Holy Ghost comes. Takes him to these very verses and he says, so you preached my gospel up there, did you? Yes, I did for 10 years. You did. You preached the gospel that the head of the church authorizes, did you? To those people? Yes, I told them Jesus saves. I told them Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. I told them this and I told them that. He says, did you heal the sick? Did you cleanse the leper? Did you raise the dead? Well, no. We talked about those things, but no, I didn't really demonstrate any of those things. Then he says, you didn't really present them my gospel. And you have no right to declare Ichabod over them. My gospel is an end word only. I didn't call you to tell him about me. I called you to demonstrate me to them. Who are you to declare Ichabod over them when you've never even yet demonstrated the gospel to them? You've not even given them a fair chance to choose. And boy, if he got on my friend like that, what do you reckon he's saying to the rest of us? Same thing. Isn't that right? This is my first closing, okay? I'm allowed several. What does it mean when a preacher says, now in closing? That doesn't mean anything at all. You're right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to talk just a little bit about the inheritance. Much of this probably you knew, but I'm telling you, this is the direction the shepherd is setting for the church. This is the direction the shepherd is setting for you individually in the church. And I don't just mean this one. Okay? The days of a gospel in word only are over. We're going to move into power, or you're going to be left behind. Okay? That's what's going to happen. And it's going to be like of old. We're going to have to, if we're going to really reap an end time harvest, which we are, we're going to have to challenge Baal once more. No matter what name he's going under. No matter whether it's Islam, Mohammedism, Confucius. I don't care what name, it's still the devil. There is only one true and living God. There is only one way to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. And all other religions are of the devil. Do you get that? How strong is that? I mean, I am the way, the truth, the life, Jesus said, and no man comes to the Father but by me. We're fixing to have an end-time showdown. End-time showdown. It's that spirit of Elijah rising up again. The God that answers by fire, He's God. Now, these past 2 years, now, again, I'm not diverting. You may think I am, but I'm not. I'm going to take about 10 minutes. He was teaching, he's trying to empower my call to not only operate in what I call kingdom, supernatural kingdom finances, but he's also wanting to teach me how to train others that have that same call. Now, one thing you'll find about the Holy Ghost when you start giving him a lot of time to teach you, you're going to find out one thing real quick. He chooses the lessons that day. You don't. When you was in school, and did you walk in and say to the teacher, I'd like to learn about biology now. I'm not interested in history. I just want to learn about biology. Now, is that the way it works? Or did the teacher say, you sit your little rump right there, and you will learn what I teach you in the sequence that I teach it to you in. Isn't that right? You're going to find the Holy Ghost is just like that. Because He knows your calling. And He's not going to waste your time on a bunch of stuff that doesn't pertain to your call. He is more interested in getting you into your call and empowered for your call. He's more interested in that than you are. Because that's what Jesus, the Master, called you to do. Jesus, the head of the church. So I didn't know. I had no clue when I started praying in those trucks that part of my calling had to do with end-time kingdom finances. But you know, after about a year or two of him teaching me, and that's all he would teach me about, I started getting a clue. You know, I think he might be calling me to these end-time kingdom finances. He won't teach me about hardly anything else. You know? And boy, I have series upon series of that, line upon line, precept upon precept. Each tape series builds on the previous. How many of you have heard those? Starts with the Houston Kingdom Finance Seminar, and then Grace, God's Foundation for Abundance, and right on up. Boy, not many of you have heard those. Shame on you. They're free. I tell you what, if you don't like them, I give you your money back. Fair enough? Okay? Anyway, he was teaching me for years, right? I mean, I couldn't go to my prayer closet, but what he wouldn't show me another little facet and build on what he taught me yesterday and build on, and then it came to an abrupt halt. I'd go to my prayer closet and all of a sudden it seemed other things. And that's when he told me. I said, well, what's going on, Holy Ghost? I don't understand. I mean, you do know I'm not yet putting millions into the gospel. You can tell that, right? And he says, I've taken you as far as I can, son, down that path. I want to empower you in that office. And I want to empower your teaching gift to train others to operate in that office. But to really do it, you're going to have to, it's done by inheritance only. And for that, you're going to have to understand who you are, where you're from, and why you're here. Then, you have to understand the inheritance and how to appropriate from it. Took me off the road, and for 2 years, he's had me pretty much locked up at the ugly building. Most of you know what that is. It's just a place where I can go pray. About the only thing that we've done in 2 years, other than that, is whenever Pastor Dave would be out of town, I normally would fill in for him. And then finally, about 10 weeks ago now, he told me in prayer, prepare for change in July. Well, since he told me that, we've been on national TV. We've been on national radio. Plus that TV broadcast goes to every station in Israel, all over the Ukraine, all over Australia. We've gone and taught, basically, the summary of what he's taught me over a 2 year span in Florida, in Houston, and now we're coming here to do it. Okay? Now, I'm not going to be teaching about kingdom finances, not specifically this time. But if your calling is there, I am going to be teaching about it. But if your calling is to a prophet, I'm going to be teaching about that calling. If your call is to pastor or to evangelize or whatever your calling, or again, to be a secretary in the administrations and helps, whatever it is, don't you need to be empowered for your call? Doesn't the Father need to do the works through you just like He does any of the rest of us? He showed me some things about this inheritance, and it's going to change you, and it's so simple. I'm telling you, it's we got belt high stuff here for you, okay? But you're going to be changed. Hallelujah, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Let me see if I can. I don't want to get in trouble when I go home. Let me make sure we get it all. I don't mean from her. I mean from him. Hallelujah. For there are minor adjustments in some. Many are looking at the obstacles that the enemy has placed. And I know your heart that you so want to continue on the path that you know I've called you to. But the obstacles the enemy has placed look so large. It's like a wall that's come up before your face. You can't climb over it. You look to the west, to the left, you look to the right, and there's no end to it. It seems impassable. I am the God that makes a way where there is no way. And I have prepared training. I have prepared lessons. Yes, sir. And I have made it easy things for you to do that will release the moving of my Spirit, that He may accomplish through you what only I can do. So yield your time, yield decisions in favor of my Spirit this week, that I may educate and that I may teach very softly but very clearly those things needed to remove those obstacles from your path, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, are there any of you that you know for sure you cannot come back at other services this week? If you will please notify us, see my daughter after the service. Aaron, raise your hand. Make sure that we have your name and address and that you were here tonight. And as soon as we get back to Tulsa and get a chance to process these tapes, we'll send you a set. Complete set, okay? Now, if you can possibly be here, though, I'm. How do I say this? It's not me, but I know what he's going to say. And I also know some things he's going to do. You won't be the same. You won't be the same. I'll put it to you this way. The Holy Ghost will not waste your time if you can come. You won't look back and say, I assure you, Friday night, you won't look back and say, I wished I'd have just stayed home. I assure you it won't be like that. Father, in Jesus' name, I believe I've done everything you've said. I release it to you, Pastor Jim.